Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the show today. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next 53 minutes, where I'll be talking about the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39. But prior to that, I want to set the stage on what, first of all, I want to set the stage for Ezekiel 38 and 39 and when it's going to take place. And I want to give you a few clues to when I think it's going to take place. We have to take into context every word that is written in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We shouldn't leave anything out. We shouldn't leave one word out, or we shouldn't add any words to it. And that's what we felt. What we do is we add words to the Bible. We add words to, especially the book of Ezekiel, to place it where we want to place it. And I want you to, if you have your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we read from verse 1. But at that time and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Now, here's the key verse, and I want you to listen to the key words. So the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, once the day of the Lord is here, because evidently it says the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. So, period. So that means the day of the Lord is here. In this verse, after this verse is here. And then it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then total destruction shall come upon them as travaileth upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Now look at the words peace and safety. This is the tribulation period. The day of the Lord is the tribulation period. So where it says that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, that's the tribulation period. So they're saying peace and safety. So remember the word peace. Don't leave that out. Just remember that. Now we're going to draw a parallel to the book of Ezekiel. And we're just going to go ahead and go straight to the verse 11 and chapter 38 of Ezekiel. It says, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwarred villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely. All of them dwelling with walls and having neither bars nor gates. Where's the word peace? There is no word peace. So that word is missing. So that what does that tell you? So that means that if you go to Revelation chapter 6, the rider on the horse has a bow with no arrow. So evidently, Israel is in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is dwelling safely. They're not dwelling peacefully. They're dwelling safely. They have the fourth powerfulest military in the world. So you're going to do it, and then they have us as their partner or their friend. Well, we kind of were there. Alive, but I don't know about now, especially the last couple of weeks. So this seems to me right away, just this one verse, verse 11 of chapter 38, seems to me that we are pre-tribulation. You say, well, you're going to just run with that one verse? Yeah. From right now until we get to another verse that actually gives the 7 years that they're burning the weapons. So they're going to take 7 years to burn the weapons. Okay? And I don't understand how anybody can believe that they're going to actually take those dirty. This is my logic. This is just logic. This is just me, my opinion. But I don't see them taking dirty weapons into the millennium. If you really think about it, it's 1,000 years, and God has returned the Garden of Eden to the world, and we got dirty weapons laying around. Oh, give me a break. Didn't it say that Jesus was going to be the light? Okay, so let me... Hello, caller?
Yes.
Hi.
Peace, brother.
Thank you. Peace to you, too. This is, you're the first caller I ever answered the phone, so answered the call. So that's pretty neat. I just clicked on the button, and all of a sudden, there you were. Next time, I warn the listeners that I'm going to answer the call. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I just tuned into your show, and, you know, the title, Prophecy Zone, definitely got my attention, and following along with you as you're reading the scriptures, and seems very interesting.
Okay.
So I'm just here basically to listen, and I want to thank you for sharing your logic.
Thank you.
There's a lot of things going on in the world right now,
yeah.
And to have a black man's logic is very valuable.
Yeah, yes, it is. It is. Well, a lot of people tend to have their own interpretation of what's going on, and I don't like to make everybody try to believe mine, you know. But it's fun. It's just a fun thing. I mean, with that aside, you know, I think that we need to think about the more common things in the Bible, the common salvation that Jude talked about, where he wanted us to focus on unity in Christ and our relationship with Christ. The only reason why I like prophecy is because God is sort of, the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is prophecy. So it's helped me, believe it or not, besides the Holy Spirit doing the holding, it's helped me a lot because I get to see things come true, you know, and come alive, and that's the awesome thing about his word. But thank you so much for calling in. What's your name?
My name is Poetry.
Okay. Oh, that's a beautiful name. Okay, God bless you so much. I'll pray for you tonight. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Peace to you.
You too. Okay, we're going to start reading verse 1 of Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, we know that tribe of the Scythians settled in the Caucasus Sea, the Caucasus Sea, and they are a tribe that Josephus had acknowledged that Ezekiel 38 was talking about. Now, Josephus is a very important scholar and Christendom. So when we get, let's continue to read, and then I'll explain some more. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, Meshach and Tubal, Meshach was named Meshilink, and Tubal was called Tubalink. So those were ancient names for these capitals. And now Meshach is actually called Moscow. And if I'm not mistaken, Tubalink is still called Tubalink. And I will turn thee back and put hooks in their jaws, in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armors, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them held in swords. Now, if you read the Russians' plans, they what the Russians do is they believe to appear to be weak that later on you will appear strong. That is why back in the 80s or in the early 90s, the fall of the Soviet Union came. Believe it or not, Gorbachev walked right out. Gorbachev is in San Francisco right now. He is a strong advocate of world government. Now, he walked right out. Normally in a coup, they turn off the water, they turn off the lights, and they turn off all these things. They didn't turn off anything. He just walked out. And it's part of the Russian plan. It was part of the Russian chessboard. I mean, they play. That's why the old Russians are so good at chess, because the leadership plays chess. And they want to there's a guy named Vladimir Zhirinovsky, and he wrote a book called A Dash to the South. And do you know that book mirrors exactly Ezekiel 38 and 39? Now, I don't know if he read the book or is just God pointed out that, hey, this guy is wrote in a book called A Dash to the South, meaning he's gonna invade Israel. And he's going to get a confederation together and invade Israel. That's when Vladimir Zhirinovsky was offering the world to his people. He was trying to run for president of Russia. He was promising them vodka and all his other things. So what he mirrors sooner or later will come to fruition for the other politicians. So Vladimir Putin, is strangely enough, an agent of the KGB. So that doesn't mean anything, literally. But the guy is kind of spooky. What did President Bush say? He's a guy that I can look into his eyes and see what his soul is saying. President Bush, you know, I respect him. You know, I think not really, but. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't really too much dig him for the wars that we started. But anyway, let's go on and read. Now, the hooks. What could be the hooks? It says in verse 4, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thy armies." Now, what are the hooks? Let's go to Isaiah 17. Let's see if we can shed some light on these hooks. Now, it's plural, so there's more than just one hook. And we gotta look at the Bible in the sense that, hey, it's saying there are hooks. It's not one hook, it's many hooks. Okay, so let's read Isaiah 17. "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a remnant heap." Let's stop there, okay? Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the world. So it's now going to be a riverless heap. Now, if it's going to be a heap, then that means, in our modern-day terminology, a neutron bomb was dropped on it. This is where I think the Antichrist is coming from. I think he's going to come from this area. Now, this is prior to Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'll tell you why. I'll show you why. Now, I'm going to later on go through this whole chapter. So, not now, though. Okay. But let me read. let me see where I'm going to start at. Okay, now, remember that Damascus is taken away from being a city. Now, in verse 13, it says, "The nation shall rust like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall cause a shift at the shaft of the morning before the wind, and then like a roaring thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at even in time trouble, and before the morning, he is not." Who is that? Who is the he? It's whoever is coming down, the nations. It says, "Before he's not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and a lot of them that rob us." So the nations rush in right after Damascus is taken out. So if Damascus is taken out, then that means the nations responded. Now, was there any diplomacy in between this action that Israel. Now, Israel, if you read Psalms 38, I'm thinking this war, this thing that just happened to Damascus is happening at the same time. Damascus or Syria is part of an invasion of Israel that's going to happen in the not-too-distant future. And if you read Psalms 83, there is a confrontation with its neighbors. It says in verse 6, the tabernacle of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab and of Hagarans, and it has a list of, it continues in chapter verse 7, Gebel and Ammon and the Palestinians or the Philistines, and it has a list of the countries that will come against us. There's a bunch of them. I can't even pronounce them. I think I need to go back to school. Well, I'm actually in school. Gonna take some English, but that ain't gonna help. Those words are kind of hard. Okay, so what's going on is there. So prior to the reason why Damascus is taken out is because Israel got into a confrontation with probably starting off with Hezbollah. So you know that's gonna happen. It's gonna be probably Lebanon. It's gonna be a third Lebanon war, and they will start the confrontation. And Syria will join in, and Iran possibly. And Israel will nuke or place a nuke, and I don't take any glory in this because those are going to be babies and kids over there and women and men who are innocent. And they have to deal with what the government is dealing with. You know, whatever the government is dealing with, they're going to have to deal with. So if somebody drops a nuke right over Damascus, that's not good at all. You got some ministries out there who just eat it up, that somebody's going to die. And, you know, 2.5 billion people off the face of the earth is going to die. Wow. Yes, this is going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Look, those people are got to go into eternity. Why are you so happy? Well, anyway, let's keep reading. Let's skip down to verse 5. Persia, which is Iran. A modern day. Iran changed their name sometime in 1950, in the 50s, I think, 40s. I got to get that. I'll get that for you. Ethiopia, which is possibly the southern part of Africa. They talk about more than just one nation, I think. And Libya with them. All of them with Shield and Helmet. Gomer and all of his bands. And that's probably eastern Germany. And to Gomer, which is Turkey, and the northern quarters. So there's probably other providences that's going to join in. And all his bands and many people with them. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be a guard unto them. Now, why is there a guard? Why does Magog have to be a guard unto these people? Now, look at the key word, look at the key country in there, Persia. Could it be that Israel struck, this is just my speculation, could it be that Israel struck Iran? So you have to look at it in terms of what is going on in the scripture. So they're a guard. So now they're a guard. So has Russia always been a guard for Iran? Well, their relationship has been much more deeper in the last couple of years. So now they are a guard for Russia, for Iran, excuse me. Hello, what? Caller.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, thank God for life.
Yes.
For indeed. Life out there, Frigg.
Yes.
Are you sure? I don't know. A little bit? How about, like, trauma? Is there a trauma out there for anybody yet, or what?
How's it going? What's on your mind?
Is anybody giving some crumbs, or what?
Anyway, what's on your mind, man?
You know what? What do you call...
Okay, sorry about that. I don't even get that one. Okay, well, anyway, let's keep going. Okay, it says, after many days thou shalt be visited, and the last days... Excuse me. In the last days, God is going to call this country down to invade Israel. And when this happens, the whole world, God says that the whole world would know that I am God. So it's going to be a surprise at the same time as a revelation to the Jewish people that this is God. Okay, now going back to the verse that I was talking about, when is this going to take place? Well, if you read verse 11, there is no mention of peace at all. So we're going to skip down to verse 13. Verse 13. And what verse 13 is a plea to the Russian Confederacy. And it says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? So it sounds like this is, now the merchants of Tarshish is a possibly Britain or Spain, one of the two. Now, the Cubs is possibly that it could be the United States. Okay, so, you got to understand that the United States right now is butting up to the Iranian butting up to the Muslim people. Now I don't have any. I love people. I love the Muslim people. I believe that they need to hear the gospel just as much as anybody else. But when I say butter up to them. Muslims, the Muslim nations, I'm saying butter up to the government of the Muslim nations. I don't think our government is any better than any other government right now, right about right now. I'm deterred about a lot of things that's going on, but like I say, Romans chapter 13, how far do we go before judgment falls upon the land? And some of the things that our current administration is doing will draw judgment sooner or later. When is this going to take place? I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know for sure. However, the Bible does say that in Luke 21, that matter of fact, we're going to read it. I'm going to continue on with reading the rest of Ezekiel 38 on my next show. And then we're going to go into 39. Okay. It talks about, we have to read the whole counsel of the Word of God. And some of the things that are phased out. And when I start talking about their signs in the skies and all this other stuff, people think I'm crazy. But it's right here. I mean, it's just obvious. And it says, and there should, and this is verse chapter 21, verse 25 of Luke. And it says, and there should be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. So when you read Matthew 24, and it says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, there are signs. Literal signs, and these signs are going to be in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And when you have a full moon outside, there's a lot of tidal waves. So I believe that the stratosphere is hooked up with the ground that we walk on, or the oceans and the seas. And it says that. It says in the seas and the waves roaring. Now, the Jewish holidays are correlated with signs in the skies. So anytime there's a Jewish holiday or Jewish observance day and there's a sign simultaneously, that is God trying to tell us something. Last year on 888, the Russian invasion of Georgia, which may have been provoked by our own CIA, but anyway, this invasion of Georgia was on a sign, and it's a 10-day, it's 10-day period, 10 days of off. On the ninth day of off is the most important. Well, all of them are important, but on the ninth day of off, that's when the temples of the Jewish people were destroyed. That's when Adolf Hitler gave the decree to destroy Jewish people. They went into exile in Babylon. The second Lebanon War started. There's a list of things. I got to get the list off so I can read it. But on the times of Av or any other Jewish festival, when there are signs in the skies, like in 2015, there are many signs. Now, getting back to when I think this Russian invasion will come, saying a day and an hour is different from a month and a year. So I'm not a prophet. I am so far away from being a prophet. So I'll speculate that if 2012 is so important to the world, one day God is going to give the world what they want. And I do believe that 2012, was slightly after 2012, possibly could be a key point. Now, Jesus can come back before this generation is done. So in 1948, Israel became a nation. If the generation is a 70-year generation, which I don't think is 80 because we're too wicked for that, I believe that this is a 70-year generation. So if you go from 1948 to 2018, you got 70 years. Now, God deals with numbers in the Bible. If you notice that the Israelites dwelled in the desert instead of 40 days going into the promised land, they dwelled there 40 years exactly. Jesus was taken up to the mountain, or led up to the mountains by the Holy Spirit, and he was there for he didn't eat for 40 days. So I don't know exactly how long he was there. Jesus was on earth 40 days after he rose from the dead. And I think on the 50th day, there was Pentecost. The Jewish people were in silence for 400 years. And I think they were sent into slavery similar to that same amount of number. The 70 weeks of Daniel. God works with numbers. So in 1948, when Jesus was saying in Matthew 24 that this generation shall not pass, he was actually talking about a literal generation. Okay? He was talking about a literal generation. So the generation shall not pass. So in 1948, Israel became a nation. In 2018, that's 70 years. It's not. I don't remember seeing any 80-year generation, or I don't think we're going to go as far as 100 years. That's too long. Too many things are going on right now. The woman's about to pop open the baby. The birth pains are too hard. They're too accurate and fast. By 2028, we've all shot each other. Okay? So I don't think, that's just my opinion, but I just don't think it's going to go that far. The drawing up the scenario is, I believe that the Bible says, and if you got your Bibles turned on to Luke 21, verse 35, it says, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." So as a snare, it's going to come and sneak up on the whole world. So you won't know exactly when the end times will come open or the Pandora's box will be open. But I do believe with one of these, now, there were three major signs last year when Russia invaded Georgia, this year on the 22nd of July, which is in timing of all, the days of all, which, by the way, they have a drill, the United States government has a drill planned for that period. So anything can happen. But 2010 will also have a sign in the skies, the time of the all, days of all. So the chances of that being is pretty good. Now go to NASA website, www.nasa.gov, I think it is, and then look up the date of the eclipses, and then go online and look up the days of off, the times of off, or Jewish observance days or Jewish holidays, and see if these days correspond. And then go back and check your history. Go and see if things actually happen on those days. I mean, pretty sure they have a list. I need to get that list. I don't have a cartridge. I got to get a cartridge for my printer so I can print it out. But I'm pretty sure there's a list of days that events that happen on this Jewish observance days, the days of mourning. Well, this year it's from July 21st to July 31st. So anything can happen. Anything. I believe it's going to be a little bit more observant to the whole world this year than it was last year. Now, it could be neutron bombs going off. It could be just as simple as Israel saying, Benjamin Netanyahu saying, okay, I'm ready to sign a peace agreement. I mean, it could be anything. Now, the drills that are going off is terrorist drills. Now, I'm going to play a clip, but when 9/11 happened, there was drills going on at the same time. And if drills are going on at the same time, what does that tell you? A lot of you should go and read and research 9/11 a little bit more closer. Go to yahoo.com and type in Tower 7. And when you type in Tower 7, you're going to sit there and watch Tower 7 fall by itself. Nothing hit it. And then listen to David Silverspoon, the owner of the World Trade Centers at the time, take out an insurance policy on it. And then he comes the next week after 9/11 saying they decided to pull it. The word pull it is a word for they decided to let the charges go off. I used to be an engineer in the United States Army. And in order to put explosives in a building, you're going to have to take some time. You can't do it the same day. So 9/11, they decided to pull it the same day. That means that they would have had to, at least for a building that's seven stories high, they would at least have to take a week or two, maybe more, to put the dynamite in the building. So if that don't tell you nothing, I don't know what will. But if you go you go and check out a video, go check out a book in the library, and see the strength of the structure that those buildings were made to withstand those attacks from planes. Now, I'm going to let you hear a video, a recording of FEMA, and they're going to tell you that we were here Monday night. Now, the 9/11 happened on Tuesday night. Where were you there on Monday night for? I mean, come on, y'all. Ask yourself a question, and I'm skipping around, but ask yourself a question. Why did we only have two parties instead of 10? Who decided that we're going to have two parties? Is it in the Constitution? Come on, y'all. And why do, if you get into a plane and I get into a train and I'm in California, we're in Washington State, we're in California, let's just say the tip of Washington, and we got to get down to Washington, D.C., you take a plane and I take a train, you're going to get there faster than I do, but we're both going to get there. Now, do we still have abortion after 8 years of George Bush? Okay. Do we, are we still in Iraq after our, after Obama President Obama promised to take us? Do y'all see what I'm saying? You, if secret societies run this nation, okay. So what I, the reason why I said all of this is because you have to ask yourself a question. If FEMA was there the night before, what does that tell you? It's just like me saying the Federal Reserve is not federal. Neither does it have a reserve. And you look at me crazy and say, what do you mean the Federal Reserve? Oh, that's no big deal. Are you kidding me? They regulate everything. Why do you think John Kennedy got shot for? He's trying to destroy the Federal Reserve and return us back to gold standard. Okay, okay, I got off track. Okay, so listen to this video and listen to them say, well, we were here on Monday night and ready to go into action on Tuesday. So you were planning this thing. There's a drill, folks. If they decide to cancel it, there's a drill being ran on the same time the sign is in the sky. Now, I'm not saying anything. North Korea can explode or anything can happen. Somebody can get assassinated. Anything can happen that has to do with the end times. Okay, because Russia will make an invasion of Israel in the latter days. So that's what happened last year. So God has given us warnings. Okay, so listen to the FEMA tape. Here we go.
Kennedy, a rescue worker with the National Urban Search and Rescue, is part of FEMA.
We're currently one of the first teams that was deployed to support the city of New York for this disaster. We arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. Today we were running an exercise.
Okay, I stopped there, but he said to be honest, which, at least he's honest. I mean, what kind of government is running this nation, folks? Now, when does Romans chapter 13 come into fruition? Okay, so we're not told to take this world back for Christ. We're not told to do that. We're not told to make this heaven on earth. We're not told to do anything, to restore the kingdom by ourselves. The Bible says without Jesus, we can do nothing. And that's individually. So imagine what we're trying to do, man on earth, trying to restore the Garden of Eden back to its former state. It's not going to work. So for us to say, well, criticize our president, there has to be logical reason why. Now, if he starts to go against the Bible, do you think we at least should open our mouths at least? Heck, the only thing I can do accidentally is spit on you accidentally. That's the only harm I'm going to do to you. But sooner or later, somebody's got to speak up. Ezekiel 33 has to come to fruition. When do you warn the people? Do you keep your mouth shut? I mean, should I tell you, look at this, man. This guy is literally turning his back on Israel. What did it say in Genesis chapter 12? For those who bless you, I'll bless them. And those who curse you, I'll curse them. Okay? So this is the lot that we're drawing. That God will curse us. Now, here's the deal. He just put us on fast track to the end times because the United States technically was the pillar that was holding everything up. And you say, what do you mean? Well, there's Christians in Korea who's holding everything up. There's Christians in China, believe it or not, who's holding everything up. Now, when I mean holding everything up, not bad way, I'm saying holding the building up. What did God talk about? Jesus is the chief cornerstone, right? Now, the apostles are gone. They're in heaven. But the word of God was built on the apostles, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So who is in the place of the apostles now? The church. Where's the Holy Spirit working through? The church. So the Holy Spirit is working through the church. Then we as Christians are holding back the Holy Spirit through the Christian the body of Christ is holding back evil. But when we're taken out of the way, evil can run rampant. So we must expose and bring to the light. Now, we're not saying go and get guns and shoot the FBI, the CIA when they come to your house. We're not saying that. But we need to warn people that, hey, President Obama just turned his back on Israel. You can look for some blowing of the knees to taking a bat to the knees like a little midget going after a key football player that told him he was short the night before. Because that's what's going to happen. We're no longer Goliath, everybody. We're short. We're Goliath who got caught, got driven into a car wreck, and now he's paralyzed. We're on the life support system. The markets are going back up. What a way to put people to sleep. The devil ain't stupid. If the fall fees are correct, one of these years, before this generation runs out, in the fall, I believe that this is me. This is my opinion. I believe the rapture of the church will happen in the fall feast. Now, I wouldn't go tell everybody this, but if I had a bigger listenership, I wouldn't say this. Because we're a party like it's 1999, and we forget God and we're open to the time, and then we try to be like the 10 virgins and say, let me in, and we'll say, go get your own stuff. But we as a nation have lost it a long time ago. God has been merciful to us. Anytime you can plan a baby shower for the person next door to you 6 months in advance of a baby coming out, get the room painted colors and say it's a boy, blue, and then your next door neighbor, let's make it even closer to home, your relative, it goes and gets an abortion. Shouldn't you come to the person and say, look, you want to come to my baby shower? Why are you having a baby shower for something that's not going to come out? That's not that the fetus is no. What rationale are we using to abort kids? What rationale are we using to go over and fund China? Oh, some people are going to burn in hell. No, this is the time I'm going to judge. Not the judgment of, you know, judgment, but I fear for that individual who not only are you funding abortion in your country, you're going over to China who can afford their own abortion. You're helping them out. This is this current administration. What is this current administration doing to us? They're going to get us killed. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. What did it say in Revelation chapter 3? He says to Philadelphia, I shall keep you out of the time of testing that's coming upon the whole world. And people don't even listen to that. Well, the rapture is not going to happen until the midpoint. Well, you would know exactly when Jesus Christ is coming back. When he said no man will know the hour, I believe that in Matthew 24, he was pointing out to a Jewish feast. He was telling the Jewish people, no man knows the day and hour. He was referring to a Jewish wedding ritual that goes through the Jewish people's culture. And I don't have time to explain it. For us at the church, we don't need to know. Because if we do, we're going to be worse than we are. We think you Laodicea, and you're going to have to make a – God will have to come back with an eighth church that's worse than Laodicea. Because everybody's out. If everybody had the urgency that Jesus Christ is coming back, do you think we'll be listening to prosperity preachers as much? We'll be trying to get the word out. We will try to get the word out. The word will go forth. We are living to a point where the Church of Laodicea was rich and they didn't need anything. So in John's eyes, they were increasing that God may decrease. The church of Philadelphia, on the other hand, was weak. And the Bible says that without me, you can do nothing, God says. Through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They relied on Jesus Christ's strength. So to some people in the church, there is going to be a rapture. To some people, there is not going to be one. You have to put Christ first. All that prosperity, are we going to get a house? God has blessed us and all this other stuff. And you forget that you're a weak vessel. But the devil is going to let you run, and he's going to let you appear strong. He won't even let you think God helped you get that house. He's going to let you think, and God actually technically blessed everybody. God owns everything. All things are good. So even a pagan household who has a new house, guess what? The elements came from God. But now, it's the appointed time for salvation. We don't have the time right now. The urgency is not there upon the church. There is no urgency. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It didn't tell us looking for that Antichrist and who it's going to be. Everybody's out looking for who the Antichrist is going to be. I think it's going to be Tony Blair. I think it's going to be Juan Carlos. Or I think it's going to be President Obama. I think it's going to be Bob Hope. How about that? Why does everybody want to know who cares? See, that's what not having a rapture does for you. So they would rather sit here and look for the Antichrist than say, okay, there is no word church mentioned after chapter 4. So that means that the church is gone. The word saint, it don't take a Harvard degree to realize that the word saint ain't the word church. And the Antichrist is frustrating the saints. He's not frustrating the church because God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Find me the word church after chapter 4, please. Anybody, email me. You're going to find it in chapter 19, 20, something like that, 20. What did Jude mean when he said, that he sees Jesus or God himself coming with 10,000 of his saints. Now, I'm going to do a series in about a week or two on false prophets. Now, the book of Jude is where I base my ministry, the Common Salvation, off of. I'm going to start doing radio programs on the Common Salvation. And mostly what I said to the last part of this is what I believe is for the last days. The book of Jude talks about a common salvation, that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he died for us, that we may have life and have that more abundantly, but he also died for us that we should live for him daily, on a daily basis. And he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. But the only way you're gonna have a spot or blemish is for you to live for him daily, and you'd be up under his wing. You'd be up under him. He's not coming back for a church person that goes to church on Sunday and the rest of the week forget him, even if you're morally intact, even if you got morals. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Now, God bless everybody out there. Now, I want to address this person who called in. Don't call into the show if you don't have anything to say, if you're going to say something ridiculous. I don't appreciate that at all, and I don't think God does either. But I do love you, and I wish you the best, and I pray for you that you will come to know Jesus. Also, if you already do, forgive me. I going to read more of the Bible starting, and I'm going to be doing the show called The Common Salvation, where I read and go over the Word of God more often. And we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to focus on the Word of God. And God wants us to fight this good fight of faith. Win this race. The race is not to the swift and to the fast. It's to the one who finishes it. And that's what we have to do, folks. We have to finish the race that God has set before us. Because the devil's going to try. He knows his time is up. He knows his time is short. So he's going to try to do anything he can do to get you off course and get me off course, even by putting this ministry before God. And I have to know that that relationship with God brings me so much peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Brings me so much joy. You know, I've never had anything that brings me so much joy than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're out there, it brings you peace and joy, even through trials. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. And if you get in now, believe it or not, God pays wages the same. If I get to work in the morning and you get to work at night, and Christ is coming back soon, he doesn't look at that. And that's the beautiful thing about God, and that's the merciful thing about God, is that he's not a respecter of persons. Like the old lady who threw in the older lady who threw in the two pennies. I say pennies, but throw it in the thing, and they laughed at her. God is looking for somebody who will have a contrite heart, like David did, who's willing to say that they make mistakes, and they have made a mistake, okay? So God loves everybody out there, but at the same time, God doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to change. He wants us to put him first. There's so many things buying for our attention. The devil has and the fruits in the garden to give us. We got boyfriends, we got girlfriends, we got jewelry, we got looks, our looks, we got our job, we got our hobbies, we got our school, we got our education, we got our grandkids. Oh, I want to have more kids before Jesus Christ comes. Oh, I want to get married before Jesus Christ comes. As if you can't, as if he doesn't have anything prepared for us in heaven. Better than this. So we have to understand that that's heaven up there. This earth is cursed. If we believe the Bible, this thing is cursed. So God wants us to, he wished that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that we can be in eternal eternity. We can live forever without dying. Okay? But God bless all y'all, and y'all have a wonderful day. Peace. God bless.